The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Oh, man, ladies and gentlemen, it is a little bit past 8 o'clock on a Thursday evening, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. If you would like to join us live, well, I should say, if you're a patron, you need to join us live in our Discord channel, Dueling Review Discord channel, where we record this show live for you. And if you were here on time, you got to hear all sorts of interesting debate about memories of a three-year-old, Japanese giant robots, and most importantly, for our young friend Jimmy, the dangers of eating gas station grapes. That was all discussed in the pre-show. It's not recorded anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. The only place you can get that is when you join us live Thursday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. in our Discord server. It's like a whole other show that you get when you become a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Matthew, this week we are taking a look at Count Crowley, or Count Crowley, depending on how you want to pronounce that part, the amateur midnight monster hunter number one. Okay, so we have read, or at least I have read the Count Crowley series before, when she first becomes the late night spooktacular host.
Right.
This is the second series of this. Mm-hmm. But if you go and look at the link in the Major Spoilers show notes to purchase this issue via our Amazon affiliate link, a little bit comes back our way, doesn't cost you anything extra. It says this is book 5 of 7, even though this is issue 1 of 4.
Right. Because the first 4-issue series, which I believe was called something different, wasn't it?
I think it was called Count Crowley and the Amateur Midnight Monster Hunter.
It was just a reluctant midnight monster.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know what it is, but
yeah, because the first series was called Reluctant Midnight Monster Hunter. But yes, this is part 1 of 4, part 5 of 8, or part 9 of 2,754.
I hope it goes on. I hope it does go on to 15, 20, 30 different series. I will say up front that I enjoyed it. Now, I do have a couple of nitpicks, which we'll get to in a moment, but what's your feeling on horror comics?
Horror comics.
I mean, this is technically horror, it's like Buffy the Vampire Slayer horror.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Horror comics are a mixed bag because it's hard to do the things that make a horror movie work in a kind of in a static format, you know, your basic understanding comics would say is graphic images juxtaposed, blubbity blubbity blue. So, you know, a lot of the things that make a horror movie horrible, like the noise cues or the jump scares or the re-re-re's or the sudden, oh my God, something just happened. You can't do that in comics to the same degree. But I also feel like the fact that this issue starts with an EC Comics riff.
Yes.
Really tells me that they're aware of and going to lean into what we know works in a horror comic format. Because those classic ECs are just breathtaking.
Yeah, yeah. And we've read those before. I've talked about them before. Yeah. I think they're a lot of fun. In fact, even the overall art stylings in the book, some of the characters feel like Crypt Keeper or feel like something that you would see in the classic EC book. So big shout out to Lucas Kettner, who did the art in this book. Just a really great job of nailing the look and feel of the old EC comics.
There's some Graham Ingalls riffs. There's some, you know, Jack Davis riffs. There is a remarkable series of shots where she goes home and meets her grandpa.
Yeah, that's specifically the ones that I'm saying that look exactly like.
And grandpa, I'm like, looks for all the world like a Will Eisner character from The Spirit.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, that's just utterly amazing. But, you know, as you go through the issue, for me, I feel like the writer, the Polka Dot Man, really gets what works and what, you know, isn't quite so successful in a horror flick, because we have moments where it's laid out and you can clearly see, okay, we're setting this up to try and emulate that horror film feeling,
Yes.
But then you also get that brilliant visual touch of, you know, we're at the airport and then we don't see someone transform. We see a close-up of fingers getting long and ears getting pointed and teeth and fangs coming out, almost like an American Werewolf in London. And then we get the full-on Graham Ingalls monster slash attack.
And not only that, it's you know, when she goes home to visit her grandfather or friend or whoever this guy is.
I think it's her grandpa.
Yeah. He's actually saying, here's what you know, here's what is the difference between real vampires and the vampires they've been telling you. They've got razor-sharp talons. They've got super hearing. They've got sharp claws. And then, or sharp teeth. And then you see him killing a cab driver. Or not a cab driver, but... a drunkard on the plane, and leads to kind of a nice little gimmick gag, which is perfect for the 1980s when this is set, is the vampire jumps out of the car after killing this guy and the car smashes into a semi and explodes, and you see him being silhouetted by the explosion. And then on the left side of the panel is a classic 1980s billboard: drinking and driving can kill a friendship. And it's a hand shaking a skeleton. And it's just like, oh, that's perfect. Which, okay. So credit for getting that little reference in the story. Then they kind of screwed up as far as maybe a little bit more fact checking, because they say that Count Crowley's got this, you know, television show very much like the horror shows that we used to watch. We're not going to mention the pedophile's name in this episode.
Cremacia Mortem.
Yeah, those kinds of things. You know, local spooky television with crazy host hawking mattresses in between commercial breaks. And they say it's somewhere between Kansas City and Missouri and St. Louis. So somewhere in Missouri. And then they're like, okay, let's go to Beloit. Let's have the plane land in Beloit. I'm like, well, there's only two Beloits that I know of: Beloit, Kansas, and Beloit, Wisconsin. So maybe this takes place in Wisconsin, until you go a few more pages down and you see the TV station that she works for is KSKB, which is either a religious radio station or a radio station out of Iowa, which also is not between Kansas City and St. Louis. So big applause for the crafty writing in this piece to make it feel like you're watching Fright Night, the movie. But I'm going to have to ding you for these little slips that you need to double check, or your editor or somebody needs to double check to make sure that you're being lined up with everything. And I'm sure somebody was just like, oh, KSKB, that is, you know, that's the name of our editors or whatever it is. It was a legit mistake. At least look up KSKB before you put it in your book, because both Beloit and KSKB identify where you're at, and both of these things don't match. And so that was a little infuriating for me.
Well,
and I know most
something.
People aren't going to give a crap, because as Matthew said, don't pull at the strings, Stephen. You're going to show the world that comics are silly stuff if you pull at the strings too much. Well, I've pulled at the strings and now I'm bitter.
Well, that's different. I mean, I'm not that this is something different. This is not a string at which one pulls. This is, you know, sort of the trappings. And as someone who grew up in Beloit, Kansas, I can tell you that Moritz Memorial Airport is about two blocks wide, has maybe four hangars, and you ain't going to land anything bigger than, you know, like a prop, a turbo prop from 1977.
Yeah.
Cause we could literally walk there from my cousin Elwood's house. And let me tell you, it is not the airport scene here.
That's one thing that I could never stand about Beloit, Kansas. All the damn vampires.
Vampires. Yep. Yeah. I'm with you. But I will also say this. I almost feel like that might, and I'm going to say might, I'm going to put an asterisk next to this, that might be an attempt to kind of get to that 70s. Do you remember Phantasm, the Phantasm movies?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, these take place here in this specific place. And I'm like, no, they don't. They clearly take place in Southern California, you student. But I almost want to give them a little bit of credit for saying we're actually trying to, like, give you the feeling of monster chiller horror theater movies by having these goofy moments that, you know, it's clearly something that's done in Los Angeles, and we all know that. But then I also remember going to, you know, the Beloit Airport, and
the other thing that I have just maybe a little bit of a problem with, and again, this is historical stuff. They clearly set this in the 1980s. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's clearly set in the 1980s. And yet I mean, there is a bad person that Crowley is trying to kill in this episode, a werewolf guy, but there's like a head werewolf, and she's a meth addict, and they do a great job of showing the meth addict and all that stuff. And they are using a lot of keywords about meth addicts and crackheads and all that kind of stuff. She's dating a guy. He's dating a girl named Crystal, and she's a crystal meth addict, right?
Right. That's why they call her Crystal. I bet.
And I'm reading from the history of methamphetamines. In the 1980s, the United States began to tighten regulations around the sale and use of ephedrine, and Use of crystal meth in the United States exploded in the early 90s. Between 94 and 2004, methamphetamine use rose from just under 2% of the U.S. adult population to approximately 5%. So I'm not saying that in the early 80s or mid 80s, whenever this is taking place, that there weren't people using crystal meth. It just seems like they're off by a decade.
Yeah, that does not feel like it's, you know, legitimately an 80s thing. I would have had her huffing gas.
I would have definitely huffers, right, with the spray cans and everything. Because, so here's the thing. There's a great sound effect that they use with the words crack. Crack would have been a better thing, because if you remember, so many of you who may be younger than Matthew and I, which is probably all of you. In the 1980s,
pretty much everybody in the universe.
Yes, in the 1980s, there was this supposed war on drugs, and I think it was when George Sr. was president. He did this whole thing. Now, of course, Reagan was doing this war on drugs, but I'm pretty sure it was George Sr. who was on a presidential address to the nation and held up a vial of crack and said this was purchased across the street from the White House. That's how bad the crack epidemic has become. And we need to crack down on crack or whatever he said. Turns out that was all fabricated, was not the actual thing. And there's actually a really fascinating story about where that crack vial came from. But I would think that crack cocaine would have been a better drug in here instead of the meth.
Yeah. I mean, in 83, I would agree. I feel like the only thing that I think that would be problematic, and I feel like, you know, it's another one of those in pop culture situations.
Yeah.
When you talk about the crack epidemic in our fictional stories, it is metropolitan.
Right.
It is something that you see in cities.
Not in Beloit, Wisconsin or Beloit, Kansas.
Correct. And they're like, oh, well, we want to get something that feels like an authentic redneck 80s drug.
Yeah, meth would definitely be it. I mean... I can drive less than a mile from my house and show you a hotbed of meth here in this town.
So. I'm not saying that crank wasn't around in the 80s. I'm just saying that, you know, specifically the crystal meth designation. And I feel like you are absolutely right. That's the part, the specific nomenclature used is what feels out of place here.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, you know, it'd be like speed. You'd be like, hey, Quaaludes. Well, Quaaludes aren't speed, but you get my point. Quaaludes are the opposite of speed, or so I've heard.
Drug Use 101 with Matthew tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Quaaludes aren't speed.
As I always tell the child, drugs are bad. I have no personal recollection of this, but a friend of mine.
Yes, I have personal recollection of this because all the drugs that I've taken have burned out those brain cells.
I have taken no drugs as far as you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. All of those. So I don't know if the creators are listening to this. If you're listening to this, please be aware that I'm being superficially picky on these things in your issue because the issue is so well put together. The issue is so fun. It doesn't. So some people might be looking at this and say, oh, female protagonist hunting werewolves, killing vampires. This sure sounds like Buffy. No, this doesn't feel like Buffy, and it doesn't resemble Buffy. It is something that's clearly its own that feels like a love letter to 80s horror movies and the schlock we would watch late at night. Yes, Elvira's name has popped up in the chat several times. We won't get into Matthew's relationship with her or a car, et cetera. But this is a good book, and I think it would have been a perfect book if some of these little nitpick things had been highlighted by somebody and said, hey, do you really want to do crack here? This, you know, I know meth was a thing here, but do we really want to do that here? Wouldn't something else be better? By the way, Quaaludes are not speed. Do you really want to make sure you've got Beloit and your KSKB correctly? I mean, that's the only reason why I'm picking on these little things. Everything else is well plotted. The layouts are great. The art is spectacular. The coloring is fantastic. The way that the story is plotted out, just really good. And I love this again, Fright Night, Lost Boys, Phantasm, all this stuff is just, it's a great thing for people who grew up in the 80s. I think people will appreciate it more if you grew up in that time period. That being said, if you're one of the young'uns, curl up next to the old vacuum tube there and listen to us spin a yarn for you. I think you guys would have fun with this as well. That's my thought.
I definitely agree. And, you know, the writer of this book, I call him the Polka Dot Man, but technically he was in Ant-Man before he was in Polka Dot Man. He's actually not from
David
Dasmalchian,
or I don't know how to pronounce it.
Dasmalchian.
Okay.
Yeah, and he actually lived in Kansas during the time frame in question. So he's not quite our age, but a couple of years younger. And he lived in like Overland Park.
Yeah, that was my backyard, basically. So, yeah.
Right. I'm going to give him half credit for, I feel like the KSKB reference is a reference to KSHB.
Could be. Which, but again, you know, we're not going to mention the pedophile. So.
Oh, absolutely not. But then you also do have that moment where you say to yourself, okay, these are bits and pieces, and your average reader, someone who is not from Kansas, is in no way going to look at this and go, that's not a realistic airport for that might, you know, if I look at it, it kind of looks
so
like the hideous, terrible Kansas MCI airport in Kansas City.
What was Kansas First, Kansas Best might have been, yeah, that's KFKB. So it's pretty close to that. I don't know. I don't know. I was like, oh, cool. They're going to actually use a call letter from a actual radio or TV station from the area or from at the time period of that area. And then they didn't. And then they got the cities and the locations messed up. So I don't know if we're supposed to be in Missouri, which I was like, oh, are they going to really, when they first said it in, they saw it between the middle of Kansas and St. Louis. Right. I was like, oh, they're going to put this in Kansas City. This is a reference to the one show that I used to watch growing up that featured a guy who was a pedophile. And then
stop saying pedophile, for God's sake.
No, he was. He's legitimately,
I understand that he was.
Went to jail for that. So, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then I saw Beloit and I was like, Beloit, Kansas doesn't have an airport, nor do they have a TV station. And then I looked at Beloit and I was like, oh no, I guess it's Beloit, Wisconsin. Then I looked KSKB and I was like, oh, this is in Iowa. So now I don't know where this story takes place. So I guess Midwest, let's just say it's in the central part of the United States somewhere. Central America is where this story takes place.
So let's take a moment and acknowledge that you and I are A, from the area.
Yes.
B, extremely well-versed in things like call letters, what they mean, why they're there, and could look at this.
Most
and
people
say
are never going to know this stuff.
Right. And when she's messing with that camera in 1983 and holding what looks like a Betamax tape, I'm like,
it would certainly be possible. for television stations where she's lifting the camera from, totally would be on the money for that.
It's possible, but I'm going to tell you, I worked in television stations in a small market in Kansas, and we did not have Beta until well into the 1990s. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying we have specific knowledge that makes us think about these moments where most people are just going to go, hey, Midwest. Okay, it's probably in Kansas somewhere. Okay, great. And then I feel like, again, as you said, the fact that this story flows so well and has these moments for us doesn't necessarily mean that anybody else is going to get caught up on the bits that we caught up. And I really feel like, you know, your average person reading a comic book, somebody in their 30s, somebody in the chat room right now, let's just pick a name.
Jimmy Olin. One J. Michael T. who's in Just the Red. All of these people are 30 or younger. We know this for 30. A fact.
You guys are going to read this comic and you're going to go, oh,
so that's what the 80s was like.
That's a Crypt Freaker joke. That's what the 80s were like. Is this what Matthew and Stephen grew up with? They can hear
If they're 30 and listening to this, first of all, thank you very much for listening to Two Old Men. They probably don't know what creepy and eerie comics are.
Yeah, sure they do. Everybody knows the Crypt Keeper. The Crypt Keeper was on the air as recently as 2002.
Does it harken back to its comic book roots?
Tales from the Crypt.
But again, we got to remember these youngins who are listening to the show who are 30, 20 years ago when the Crypt Keeper was on television, they would have been like 10.
You know what? When you were three, you claimed Ultraman was a robot.
No, young I claimed he was a Jaguar. First of all, let's get my three-year-old memory straight. This is why you have to listen to the pre-show, ladies and gentlemen. You can only become a Patreon member at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Everyone who we've mentioned, all these young 30-year-old people in the chat, mm-hmm. 30 and younger. Yeah. I think Jimmy's only just turned 21.
Jimmy's like 19.
They are all our wonderful patrons, and we thank each and every one of them for making this show possible. Yep. Bottom line, and you too, dear listener, can listen to us rant about how Spider-Man created the Transformers. When you become a patron, patreon.com/majorspoilers, $5. That's all it costs a month. $5 a month. We don't do like some people that charge you like $3 per episode, which would mean you'd be paying $12 a month just to hear our ramblings. I mean, we'd certainly appreciate it if you did, and you could do that if you want, but we don't charge per episode. We don't charge per release because we release on average 5 to 7 shows a week. That would be at times 4. That's $120 you'd be paying. I mean, I would like to do that, but I'm not going to be that way. I know times are tough for people. And that $5, you can do one of two things with it. You can't buy a comic book with it. I guess you could buy this one. This one's $3.99.
There you go.
I don't think you can buy a gallon of gas with it. So you might as well just give it to us. I mean, if you go to Burger King, a hamburger is going to cost you like $5. So
yeah, it depends on the burger, but yeah. You know, I went and I got my coffee and donuts this morning.
$8.
$10.
$10. Holy cow.
Well, I got a half dozen donuts for my coworkers, but you know, $10. That's a lot of dollars.
Listen, when you become a patron, even if you're at the $1 level of being a patron, you get to pick what comic we review next week. And this week it was Count Crowley or Count Crowley, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Amateur Crowley. Midnight Monster Hunter #1. You can pick next week's comic by heading over to patreon.com right now. Matthew, I'm giving this a big thumbs up. I really enjoyed it. I am definitely going to subscribe to the rest of the series. Oh, wait, can I do that with Comixology now? I don't know if they fixed that feature yet. I'm definitely going to pick up the other 4 issues in the series because I enjoyed it so much.
I actually agree with you. I feel like this is a really fun comic. And I worried because I looked at that cover and I'm like, oh, is this... are we going to be in another Hellboy kind of thing? And, you know, not to even use Hellboy as a pejorative, because I was like, oh, what even is this? And then as soon as we get into the story, I'm like, bam, this is cool. Well written. Well, you know, well written by the polka dot man, well drawn by the not the polka dot man. And you do have an almost immediate immersion into the universe that we're looking at here. Something that reminds me of your Fright Night. Something that reminds me of the creepy movies of my youth. And, you know, Friday the 13th, the television series. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down. I'm going to go thumbs up as well. I feel like this might actually be that rare and coveted rush right out in a buying frenzy, especially if you like a good horror story.
Yeah. And this is not like horror heads getting chopped off and we're going to see the knife stabbing people repeatedly until, you know, Rob Zombie does something dumb. We're talking about, you know, 80s horror type stuff, which I realize often has a lot of beheadings and other stuff. I watch Jason and Freddy and all that stuff. Anyway, go pick this up. In fact, go pick up any comic. If you are going to buy an electronic comic, or you could even buy a physical copy if you want, use the link over at majorspoilers.com. There's a link in the show notes as well. And you can buy this through the Kindle/Comixology service, through Amazon. A little bit comes back our way. And I mean, just a few cents come back our way. But it does help keep this show as free as we can possibly make it. We're not putting it behind a paywall yet. It does allow this show to continue. And if you want to help us in other ways, if you can't become a patron, certainly buying your comics through our Comixology Amazon affiliate link helps out very much. So until next time, make sure you go out and read a lot of comics. There's a lot of good stuff out there. Take care.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.